Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
The Around the NFL Podcast is colder than Matty Ice.
From the Chris Wessling Podcast Studio, it's Around the NFL. I'm Dan Hansis. Heroes to my left, Greg Rosenthal and Mark Sessler. Oh, yeah. What's up, boys?
Heroes aplenty.
Oh, yeah. Teaming with heroes.
Dan had a variety of technical issues heading into the show today. And I think he's, you know, when it's rare that Dan seems rattled.
A little bit.
A little rattled.
It's like a laptop. You know, I'm doing some pre-show work at the house. It's like, let me get to the office a little bit early, get ahead of things.
Sure.
Get there.
A professional.
Computer doesn't turn on. Then I have a backup laptop. And then it's like a password from like July of 2021. Don't know that. I got IT in the mix. Then I got people coming in and saying hello. And you know how it is, Mark, with people doing the rounds.
Oh, yeah.
People
it's
doing
great
the rounds
to be back
in the office.
Together, as they say.
It really cut into, Greg, my prep time, which I don't like because I like
but
to feel
But you also
ready.
Just don't like to talk to other people unless they've
had approval
beforehand.
That's Mark's thing. I'm okay with talking to people. I like talking to people.
Not
when I'm getting ready for my podcast.
You keep like a famously tight, though, list of people allowed into the inner circle, especially for
very
like a Christmas
though.
Party. That's different.
Very different.
It's different.
It is.
People have to pass a certain test. They have to be bringing something to the table.
Can't be taking things off the table.
But if they're not bringing anything, if they're just like in the middle,
right.
They might not get asked back to either.
Yeah. It's like, and if they're sitting at the table and then after the party, like, oh, where's the salt pepper shaker? You guys see that? I had a Tabasco bottle here.
It was Larry.
What? Forks and knives? Where are they? Somebody took something off the table. They don't come back.
They've got one chance with you.
But that's the thing. I'm a friendly person, and I'll talk to anybody here in the office. But in terms of like hanging, yeah, it's a little tighter. I don't see you with a huge circle, Greg. Like, everybody, come hang with me. We've been to your house once for your son's like second birthday party, like a prior decade.
Yeah, I'm not taking any shots. I'll be happy to talk to the. In fact, Mark complains about me walking around the room talking to too many people here.
I'm being character assassinated during this. I enjoy many people. I like going out and
we used to be there all day,
as well.
All day, every day, even at this time of year. Remember that?
I don't think I'm speaking out of turn, Mark. But I think what got on Mark's radar is that he saw that as potential ladder climbing attempts being made when you were glad handing through the newsroom.
Well, it's usually like Jeremy Bergman and David Ely. That's pretty much who it is.
I mean, I see Greg in our office for about 8 minutes a week at this point, so I'm not.
I do try to
concerned.
Time it now. Lunch opens at the huddle at 11:30.
Smart.
Just time it so that you get there right when lunch opens, and then have a nice, luxurious, delicious taco.
All right, I'm looking forward to that taco. But first, we need to deliver a quality podcast to you, the listener. Thank you for following us all season long. Here we are, deep in May, the last day of May. And we're going to get you caught up to what's going on around the NFL. Also, you know, people people want answers. People want to know what's going to happen in 2022. People, they're burning questions and they demand knowledge now. And that's where we come in.
We fill in the blank there.
You give us questions. We took some from the internet. We have some of our own, perhaps. And we're going to be asking each other questions about the 2022 season. And here's the thing, a little bit of a spoiler alert. We are answering these questions with the actual answer about what's going to happen. So be ready. Don't turn off the app. Let it play with the volume down so we get the download figures. But understand the information you're going to hear about the 2022 season is something that will occur. So get ready.
And I think for if you're the type of person, because you sort of said, you know, generalize that everyone wants answers, and I think that's true. But for some people, it may be the enjoyment of sport is to allow the drama to unfold in real time. This is a dangerous episode.
Absolutely. I would say, yes, this is one of the more dangerous episodes because you're messing with the time and space continuum.
Sure.
And people are wondering, how are you going to know these answers? Are you time travelers? No, it's nothing like that. It's just something we're going to look into the abyss and the answers will come to us because we've been doing this podcast since 2013. We now have all the information.
We're experts, you know. Yeah.
That's what I'd call
there
us.
There are a lot of people in this day and age who don't really rely on expertise. They think they're the expert, but they're wrong.
Thank you.
We are the experts.
Thank you.
It's well said.
All right. Speaking of well said, we got a lot to do news-wise. Let's hit it. Let's hear from a voice that's very near and dear to us.
Man, I'd love to see somebody like Matthew Stafford with Sean McVay.
From the archives of Around the NFL, it's the legend, Chris Wessling. And that was dated September 6th, 2019, week one preview. Sean McVay, you know, at that point, I believe Jared Goff was a highly productive starter at that time still. But Matthew Stafford was going through his Detroit Lions career. And
what season was that? 2019?
Entering 2019.
I think okay.
Goff had just signed his mega extension, and you were all talking about it, reacting to it, and that's where that came
there
from.
There were a lot of Goff supporters on this podcast, Greg. I thought that you were quite a Goff guy for a bit of time there.
Really?
He had a stretch where he was talked about as an MVP candidate.
When we went to the game in 2018. It was mostly that he just threw a pretty ball.
He had that beautiful Thursday night game. But I do remember, and this is not anything against you, but when we went to Rams camp, I remember talking out on the site, and we were all kind of really impressed by his arm strength and just the free and easy way in which he threw the ball. I mean, there was a time where Goff seemed like the guy. But Wes, to his credit, but what if Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay got together?
It's a special connection, too, because I know Keisha told me that was like the last football conversation they ever had, basically, was Stafford getting traded to the
Good
Rams.
Call.
And she mentioned to him, you know, what had happened. It wasn't like a long talk, but he was excited for her that her team got such a great player. And then it all ended up with her at the Super
That's
Bowl watching
pull.
Him win.
Great pull. Can't believe the Rams and Bengals played in the Super Bowl. We miss you, Chris Wessling. And by the way, shout out to Joe Whitehead, listener who dug through the archives and found that.
Yeah, I love when people send us stuff like that. That's great. We would never have known that or remembered.
All right, let's hit the news, starting with some sad news. And this is for the second time in a couple of months now, because we lost Dwayne Haskins due to a accident on a highway down in Florida. And now we get the news that Arizona Cardinals cornerback Jeff Gladney killed in a car accident early Monday morning. His agent confirmed this to ESPN. The Cardinals released a statement Monday afternoon, also confirming the death, which occurred at around 2:30 in the morning on Monday. Gladney was 25 years old. He had signed with the Cardinals in March after a jury found him not guilty on a felony assault charge. It was that assault charge and those legal issues that led to the end of his run with the Minnesota Vikings, who took him in the first round out of TCU in 2020, but he was released in August when he was indicted on that charge. So his NFL career never got off the ground. Off the field issues caused a major strain for him, but at 25 years old, Jeff Gladney passes away. Very sad. And a passenger, a female passenger in the car also lost their life.
Yeah, rest in peace.
In other news, on the football field, Aaron Donald, speaking of the Rams and the Super Bowl champions, he is 8 years into one of the most legendary careers of any defensive lineman in NFL history. Now he's got his ring. Remember him pointing to the finger after he got the big takedown of Joe Burrow. He says he'd be at peace with his career if he and the Rams can't agree to a new contract this summer. He signed through the 2024 season, but he has no guaranteed money left on his deal. He was on the I Am Athlete. Feels like there's a missing word there, but all right. I Am Athlete podcast. This is what he had to say about the situation.
Me talking about retirement, that was happening way before we won a Super Bowl. I've been saying that since I got into the league. I was going to play 8 years and be done. That's just, you know, that's just what I've been saying. It just came out. Now everybody think that, you know, oh, he said if he won a Super Bowl, he's going to retire. No, I've been talking. I got teammates, coaches, my family know about this. I said, I'm going to play 8 years and I'll probably be done playing football. But winning a Super Bowl, you get kind of get a little addicted to it. It's like, I want to feel that again, though. I ain't going to lie. That's like, that experience is like none other. So, If I was to play, it's just to win another Super Bowl, but at the end of the day, it's still a business, and it got to make sense to me and my family.
Mark Donald said that he and the Rams probably will work out a deal, but if one can't be reached, he won't walk away mad.
I mean, this is different to me than Kyler Murray in his anti-drama wiping his Instagram account. I think Donald is being truthful. He's in a place of individual comfort with where he is in his career. Now, do I think that a mega deal from the Rams that'll make him the most highly paid defensive player in the league, and the fact that they're sitting right in a wide open Super Bowl window probably will have him inking a new deal and sitting pat with the Rams a few weeks from now, months from now? Yes.
Right. He said it's not about the money, but it's a business. It's a business. And it's just one of those things when you sign a deal that he did, and the teams were looking to get guys to sign long deals. He signed a six-year, $135 million contract, but it had a $40 million signing bonus, $86 million guaranteed. I mean, it was more than fair. He signed it when he was 27. Now he's 31, and now he's underpaid. Like, the money that he's making this year doesn't make any sense, and teams have to understand this. When you sign a guy to that long of a contract, yeah, you get flexibility, but you're going to have him coming back after four seasons like he is right now. I think he'll get his money, but it's tricky. I mean, what's he worth? He's the best defensive player of all time. Yeah. I mean, if he was worth $86 million guaranteed last time,
well, it's pretty simple.
Double it. I mean, it's like he's worth so much, but he's 31, so it's a little tricky for them.
Right. It's top, whatever the top of the market is in that position group, he should be the top of it because he's
like,
the best.
But it's like way over the top, though, right? Because, like, is he worth more than Devontae Adams and those guys, the receiver contracts? I think he could certainly make that argument. I would tend to agree.
More than TJ Watt, more than.
And we
Joey
need,
Bosa?
I know the salary cap is something easily manipulated, but like, what are the Rams in a tough position here where he wants to back up the Brinks truck and have a kind of positionally changing type contract, how that position is judged and what he's been able to do. Is there an impasse possibly? I don't think so. And I think it's all ultimately a bargaining tactic, and Aaron Donald will be lining up week one. Right?
I saw a Brinks truck during my vacation. Mm. And the first thing that goes through your mind is, I mean, I don't think I could physically pull this off, but how I would like to rob it.
Oh.
And just take a small amount. Just take a small parcel of money.
But in a nonviolent
scenario? Well, no, just wait. So you're thinking, how would I do it? But
yeah. It would have to be one of those.
How would you do it?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd have to give it more thought than I did because two minutes later,
like
I was thinking about something else.
This segment is not a good piece of evidence to put out there. You know what I mean? If you're going to do it. This is on record.
Unless they think because I've said it, I won't do it now.
There was a woman who was convicted for murder last week in Washington State, who had one point written a blog post, how to murder your husband. And then she murdered her husband. So it's like that's the type of digital record you can leave these days.
That blog spot will get you every time. In other contract news, the Browns signed David Njoku to a four-year, $56.8 million extension. It includes $28 million guaranteed. Rap Sheet noted that, by the way, you and Rap Sheet, ice broken?
There was no ice to be broken. I don't know how that works, the ice.
Did you break the chill? What is the terminology I'm looking for, Mark?
Well, things got a little hot between you and
your...
This is all your narrative. It's not taking off, and I think you should look inside yourself for that.
What do you mean, not taking off? These are
questions.
You're
hoping this is going to be a whole narrative, and this is the first I've heard about it since you last brought it up.
But I'm asking now that you were aware of it on last show I brought it up. Were any steps taken?
This will shock you, but that show was the last I thought of it, and I'm sure Ian is thinking even less.
It seems chilly, Greg. It still seems a little right.
Freezing. I'm just saying, you said yourself he's your number one insider source. You're going to, before the season gets going in earnest, you might want to build a bridge there. Because if you build a bridge when training camp starts, he might sniff it out like, oh, now he wants to be friends with me again when I need scoops. Just saying.
There's other sources out there.
Wow. Okay. See, well, I think we moved the story a little bit there, Mark.
I think, you know, you're doing the work of a journalist, Dan.
Anyway, Njoku, according to Rap Sheet, is the fifth highest paid tight end in terms of yearly average. Mark, you've watched Njoku his entire career, former first round pick. The money surprised me just because I know he's more a guy that has flashed as opposed to actually put together a big season. Do you think this was money well invested by Cleveland?
It's a projection. I think that it shows faith that, you know, half the Browns fan base would say he looks the part. He's also been extremely frustrating at times. I will say he's been in a system with multiple coaches, up and down quarterback play. And when he was, you know, in 2020, I thought he took a real big step forward. Last season, skittish again to some degree. But it tells me that there are a dearth of playmaking tight ends around the league. He's getting paid because there aren't just that enough of these guys that I think the Browns look at David Njoku and say, with Deshaun Watson at quarterback, with the year three of Stefanski's system, that is a tight end friendly system for the most part, unless you're Austin Hooper. They're saying, we believe you're worth the money.
I was kind of shocked by it. I mean, he's just every fifth game of his career, he'll make a couple of plays and you'll be like, great, this is David Njoku.
Was he demanding to be cut like a couple months ago?
Well, the resistance, he has 15 touchdowns in five seasons. So
he has 1,700 yards in 500 seasons. So that's an average of what, Dan?
What was it again? Give me
1,700 yards in five seasons. That's not fair.
1,700 across five seasons.
Yeah.
About 281 yards.
It's over 300. Yeah. Right. But, you know, somewhere between three and four.
Wait,
yeah,
it would definitely be over 300.
I took your cue there.
Either way, it's low. It's I don't get it, but it's self-scouting. They know him better than anyone else. It's basically a 2-for-25 deal, but that's a lot for
a tight
end.
And they just got out of the Austin Hooper business, and they didn't really judge that contract too well.
Maybe he's improved as a blocker. He certainly adds the versatility that they want. And right now, he's their number two receiver.
Their wide receiver room is a mess.
Right. There's this whole idea that's like Deshaun Watson's just stepping into like a Super Bowl ready roster. And that one of my takeaways from doing projected starter was like, this roster isn't the same as 2020. That was the 2020 Browns roster. The offensive line, I think, has more questions than it did. The secondary is a little thin to me. And the receiver group is one of the worst depth-wise in the league after Amari Cooper. It's just I think they'll actually add some more players. One thing they do have a lot of is cap space and money, and that they just spent some on Njoku, but they've got more.
You could imagine Will Fuller potentially going there. In OTAs, they've been...
I only get to bring up Will Fuller on this podcast. You know that.
Why don't you
That's
say
a rule.
It. Then you can say it. And
Will Fuller would be an excellent fit with the quarterback that they...
That's a good point.
You know,
that's a good
brought
point.
Aboard.
It'd be a nice pickup.
Odell Beckham.
Beckham, whatever. That's just sloppy. I don't know about, you know.
That's not happening.
It would be funny, though.
Yeah. All right. Time now for Graybeard's News and Notes presented by Upwork, where you can build the team that will build your business. Learn more at Upwork.com. Akeem Hicks, he goes from a fake team, the Graybeards, to a real one, the Buccaneers. A one-year contract up to $10 million. Probably not close to $10 million, but if he had like 27 sacks, he'd probably get $10 million. Anyway, but he's 32 years old. He was a guy that thrived earlier in his career. He's had some injury issues, Greg, and now he slots in. I guess he'll be in the Ndamukong Suh spot for the Bucs unless they decide to bring Sue back, but that feels like a nice fit for Hicks.
Yeah, great fit for Hicks. Great for them. He's someone I think would benefit from playing a little less. That hasn't been by choice lately. He missed most of the last season and most of 2019. And even when he played a full season in 2020, he wasn't like peak Hicks, which was an all-pro player. But I think they've shown Todd Bowles especially that they can take these guys towards the end of their career and get a ton of value out of him. I mean, I'm going back to the same thing I keep repeating about the draft. It's like Akeem Hicks, if he's healthy, is going to make a bigger impact than most first round picks this year, even though he's coming in. I mean, he's going to give you 500, 600 good snaps.
And in the past, when they signed Sue, they got him for good money. I think they got good money and good value again right here. I like it. I think Sue is a target for the Cleveland Browns, although they say they're not interested. But if another short coming for that team, that roster, the defensive interior defensive line is an absolute mess right now.
Jumping off a flaming bandwagon. That's smart, Mark.
The
roster, maybe not so hot. You got the mess at quarterback. Maybe you're doing a jump and a forward roll off the wagon as it goes off the cliff in flames, potentially.
I just think that they're being overvalued because of what they did at quarterback in terms of the roster. There are problems there.
Makes
defensive tackle is the other spot I should have mentioned
there.
You're
mess.
Right. I kind of think they are... I give them credit for identifying some values. I think they will. They are one of the teams I think are going to sign multiple pretty solid veterans on the rest of the offseason.
Yeah.
They got
Let me
the
ask
money.
You a question, Mark. Where you're at right now in your Browns divorce, have you changed your offseason habits? Are you not following the beat reporters anymore beyond what you do for this job? Are you following the team in a different way than the other teams, or have you disconnected on that realm?
I dive so deeply into all 32 teams that I don't think that there's anything different about the tone of this offseason.
Very good. That was a great answer. I mean, it's a great answer. By the way,
it was a non-answer is what it was.
Well, speaking of the graybeards, at the wide receiver position, Beckham, Antonio Brown, Jarvis Landry, Julio Jones. Landry landed with the Saints. Antonio Brown came out and said, don't play yourself and think I'm going to be on the team this year. It's like, whatever, dude. I still think he'll be in the mix potentially, but it doesn't sound like he's.
Ooh, I think we have sandwiches
team.
On.
We
that.
Do. I'm not nervous yet. Although his attitude is abhorrent. Julio Jones still there.
I'm not excited about that.
I don't know. I mean, if you're the Browns, like, why wouldn't you bring in Julio Jones on
why
a cheap contract?
Why not draft him in 2009 like you should have to begin with?
All right.
Ooh.
Well, that was a that
he
was
gets
a,
it.
He's a, off.
This
that
guy
was a
gets
gap.
It.
That was a gap. So.
Who did they take instead of Julio?
Well, they traded down and took Alex Mack, who was a great center for them. Okay. But they had no answer at wide receiver for the next 8 years. So
Julio would have been a better pick than Alex Mack, as much as we like Alex Mack.
That was Graybeard's News and Notes presented by Upwork, the world's work marketplace. Learn more at Upwork.com. In other news, the Colts, you know, there is a lot of selling going on around the Colts right now about they have solved everything now because they have Matt Ryan in 2022. Maybe in 2009 that would have been amazing for the Colts, but they have this version of Mr. Ryan. And Michael Pittman, the lone 1,000-yard receiver a year ago on Indianapolis, oh, man, he's like everything's in play when it comes to Matt Ryan. No rules.
Matt can pretty much put it wherever he wants, so you kind of just catch it, turn, and then run. So he's going to put it where it needs to be.
Hey, listen, he's got the green light. Go. He'll put it there.
I was worried for a second that you weren't using this headline just because it delighted the 12-year-old boy in me. But no, you are using this headline just for that reason. So thank you. Put it wherever he wants.
Hey, listen.
You got to think about that as a headline
Young
writer.
Love.
Or maybe they did think about that as a headline writer. Because now I'm seeing like sites like PFF sent out this quote. They know it's going to get reaction. They know put it wherever it wants.
I'm sure Michael Pittman isn't thrilled with the the way it's circling the internet, but I understand what he's saying.
I don't know. He's in the news cycle now. Maybe he came up with this plot to begin with. So
finally in the news, this happened early in the holiday weekend, but we got a lot of people that wanted our reaction. So let's listen to, and I know we have a guy built Roto-World brick by brick. I myself am a former NFL fantasy commissioner for well over a decade. So here's Giants outfielder Jacques Peterson discussing what happened with Tommy Pham, a I guess he's a Red. He's a Cincinnati Red, Tommy fan. They were in a fantasy league together that involved multiple major league players. And Tommy fan, before the game, approached Jock Peterson and slapped him in the face, Will Smith style. And it was about a fantasy football rules dispute. Jock Peterson, when approached by the media for the story, did not spare any detail. Hit it, Justin.
We were in a fantasy league together.
Can you pause it for 1 second? I want you, Greg, as a brick by brick guy.
Yeah.
To try to really kind of let's parse his words and tell me who you think.
Yeah,
was
get
in
to the
right.
Bottom of this.
Go ahead.
I put somebody, a player, on the injured reserve when they were listed as out, and added another player, and then there was a text message in the group saying that I was cheating because I was stashing players on my bench, and then I don't know. I looked up the rules and sent a screenshot of the rules, how it says that when a player is ruled out, you're allowed to put him on the IR. And that's all I was doing. And then it just so happened that he had a player, Jeff Wilson, who was out. And he had him on the IR. And I said,
he's surrounded by reporters right now, by the way.
On your team, on your bench.
Real storyteller.
And then I guess he was in two leagues. Real and one Lincoln. Of them he was on the IR and one of them he wasn't. So maybe that was a confusion. But on the ESPN league we were in, it was listed as out. So it's like it feels very similar to what I did. And that was basically all of it. There's not much more to it.
Okay.
All right. I'll give my take first, Greg. Then I want to hear yours. And Mark, any thoughts you have? The failure here. Well, first of all, some lunatic slapping a guy in the face in the outfield over Fantasy Football League. I also know that, though, because I was in a Fantasy Football League in my 20s like these guys are. And it's really there's a lot of bad blood in fantasy leagues when you got a bunch of like 28-year-old guys that are have way too much invested in it emotionally and financially. But the failure is of the commissioner, in my opinion, Greggy, because he set an IR rule that could be easily manipulated. You got to set this thing hard and fast. You could say you only go onto the IR unless you're actually on real life IR. If you allow people to slide in guys that are simply out, it invites issues exactly like this.
Well, I didn't even need to hear him say anything. The guy who slaps another man for a fantasy football crime in the outfield, I don't care what happened. And then, by the way, the other guy didn't do anything wrong. The rules are the rules. That's totally typical of a fantasy league that you could put guys on IR if they're out. That's
not Jock's fault.
It's not, right. It's not a strange rule at all. If the commissioner, if the system lets you do it, you can do it. It's not even like he was looking for some sort of loophole. He was just playing the game.
Shouldn't this have been sealed up when he sent the screenshot of how the league is being run and he didn't go outside?
I haven't heard all this.
How it works. And the other issue...
Slapping alone is just like you are admitting you're in the wrong.
Right. And how long? Because he knew that they were going to face each other on the diamond at some point. How long does the slapper in his mind say to himself, when I go into this game situation,
I'm going
to slap him.
Early January. I mean, fantasy football ended in January.
It was
at the
2020
latest.
Season, Greg. So
this feels like it's an absurd setup.
Absurd.
To some
Can
degree.
That even? There has to be more to the story.
Well,
but
there's a GIF involved where the Giants, Dodgers, and Padres. There was like a weight thrown in the air. And the Padres guy, that's where Pham was playing for at the time, got crushed by the weight. So there was some, you know, making fun of the Padres as well. But he also, that guy, the slapper, also quit the league over that issue in the middle of the season, which is the biggest no-no. You never quit a league in the middle of the year unless something heinous went down.
It sounds like the slapper should be the slappy on some level because he's quit the league. He's a hothead.
He's probably nuts. So that's the problem here. Like, you're like, what are we missing here? Oh, the guy, Tommy Pham, is a lunatic.
It's got to be. Come on, man.
All right. Before we take a break, it's time once again for It Came From the Internet. All right. So here we go. Mark, you love that old CBS pregame with Brent Musburger.
Oh yeah.
And for a while in the studio with him was Brown's great Jim Brown.
All right.
Here is a excerpt of a telecast that I believe was a mid-80s, around 84 or so, Gravedigger. Let's listen in.
Jim, it amazes me that the big backs in the league are able to take as much punishment as they do. I mean, they get whacked coming up the middle there.
Well, it amazes me, too, because a lot of them are getting hurt now because I think the conditioning program is great, yet, as I said earlier, and I hate to say it, there is a cocaine problem within the league.
No!
And you cannot play under the influence of cocaine.
Wait. What was that, Jim?
There is a cocaine problem within the league, and you cannot play under the influence of cocaine.
No, Jim Brown, probably not wrong. In the early 80s, and it wasn't just an NFL problem, you look at the NBA, which was basically torn apart by cocaine use. The NFL, I'm sure it was a thing. MLB, you had Keith Hernandez in a trial admitting to it.
Society.
I was listening to an
interview, and they were talking, it was like a director talking, their parents would just openly do coke at parties in front of kids back then.
Brent Musburger was like, this just took a different turn than I was expecting. So then did a little like research. Jim Brown, he's a legendary player. His off the field life not always sterling, but he's a fascinating individual. And I have to say, he is someone. If you dig into this period of his life, the early 80s, he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated on December 12, 1983, in a full Raiders uniform. He wanted to come back at age 47. But he hadn't been signed, but he just did a photo shoot wearing a Raiders uniform. And he had an issue with the modern game at that point. I feel like he thought it changed. Here's a quote, and it connects to the dialogue with Musburger. Where are the heroes, the gladiators? He's also asking, whatever happened to you know who?
Absolutely.
We need more Jim Plunkett's, Ted Hendricks's, Lyle Alzado's, Jack Lambert's, John Riggins's. They are throwbacks to the old days. Today's heroes are insulated by their money. They're more worried about their women and their drugs. The lady, cocaine he's referring to, and the ladies go together. Cocaine is the prettiest lady of them all. Like, he was on this, like, on these guys are doing coke now.
Well, he was right, right? I mean,
well, like, just, you
know. He's part of, I mean, the most consistent thing in human history is there's always someone telling you that it used to be better. People used to be tougher. The world used to be better. The generation before were better people. That's like consistent. In this case, coke was part of it.
Right. It's just kind of interesting. He could not help but shoehorn into every conversation he was having about the modern football player. Also, you should know that Franco Harris at this time was trying to, who was very close to the NFL rushing record. Of course, Jim Brown retired after 9 seasons with the record. So that's why he was planning to come out of retirement, because he thought it was a great injustice that Franco Harris, a man that ran out of bounds and didn't take punishment, would ever break his record. So he wanted to go back and distance the record, which was broken anyway. By sweetness, Walter Payton.
It was about 2 years later that big back Kevin Mack was actually nailed for cocaine. So, you know, Jim Brown, right on topic there.
All right. Well, that's it for It Came From the Internet. And we'll be right back.
You go into your shower feeling tired. But as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my game.
Set sail and save right away when you book your next Disney cruise vacation with UndercoverTourist.com. Undercover Tourist is your secret for savings on all Disney Resorts vacations. And now, fun in the sun with Disney Cruise Lines. How about enchanting entertainment or an exclusive visit to Castaway Key? Anything's possible aboard a Disney cruise vacation. Book now with UndercoverTourist.com, an authorized seller, and get a free in-room decor package with your Disney Cruise Line booking. Plus, exclusive savings at checkout. UndercoverTourist.com.
All right, here we go. We're back. Again, turn it off right now. Turn the volume off, at least. Give us the download data. Give us that metadata that we want. We crave.
We crave it.
We're going to give you everything you need to know. And these were questions sent in from the listeners on Twitter. Wow. These are questions that we will get to pose to one another. If you have one that's not from Twitter, feel free to throw it out there. So of your own making. Why don't you get it going, Mark? Why don't you ask me a question? And again, if you do not want to know what's going to happen in the 2022 NFL season, turn it off now. Or volume down.
I like this
metadata.
One.
Metadata.
This one, I'd be interested to see what you think about this. Is there a quarterback that you could see getting benched before Halloween that nobody is talking about? Not, you know, someone that's out there in the mist from the wilderness that would shock us right now.
There is. There is a quarterback. Ah. He plays in the AFC. He's connected to a team that people are very high on. He's a first round pick with a journeyman behind him, and yet there's too much smoke. Ah, wait, too much smoke. His struggles will lead to a change. That'll make Greg Rosenthal very excited. Tua Tagovailoa will be benched by Halloween. Oof.
I could see that.
So this is like a Miss Cleo situation. You're just like wiping away the cobwebs and seeing the truth.
In a way, I don't want to. We do not endorse black magic.
No.
We do not endorse the dark arts. We are not time travelers.
As far as anyone knows, that's accurate.
But we have done like 1,500 NFL podcasts, and with that comes a level of clarity that, like Greg says, if you think hard enough into the abyss, the answer presents itself, and that's what happened. And I see, ooh, yeah, Tua is not happy on the sideline.
Ooh, wow, it's a little spicy. You're really asking for Tuanon to come after you.
Tuanon?
You have put it out there that Tua is not going to make it until October.
He'll make it to October, but he won't make it to November.
No, right. Not to November. Yeah. As the starting quarterback.
As a human, yes. I am almost certain he will. Wait. Yes, he will also make it as a human.
That's good.
That's very good. But Teddy Bridgewater is exactly the level of backup that a head coach who, you know, first-year head coach, who's seeing an offense maybe not go how he wants it to go, maybe too is a little banged up, too. That's what's happening.
I mean,
it
might not be a permanent benching, but I could totally see new coach, an owner that I don't think is totally sold on Tua when they could have had Justin Herbert, that if you have Teddy, you want to give Tua a break if he gets into one of his little Tua slumps.
And you could come at me right now, and Dolphins fans would be like, oh, man, he was talking about the other thing last week with ownership and all the things behind the scenes. I didn't mean to do that. That was a question presented to me. I didn't know it was coming, and that was the answer that came to me.
First four games, home to New England, at Baltimore, home to Buffalo, at Cincinnati. To your point, seeing the future here, Tua has to play at a very high level to help the Dolphins start off well. It eases up after that. But if you get in an 0-4 or 1-3 hole, I don't think it's been that controversial to say this team might not have as much patience as they're going to be there.
Expectations are so high now, especially with the Tyreek Hill acquisition. If he doesn't get off to a typical Tyreek Hill start, who knows, he might talk as well. There could be some bad vibes there. So a lot of pressure on Tua to come out of the gates fast. I will now turn my attention to Greg as I look. And you know what you need to do here, Greg. You're going to tell people what's going to happen.
It's scary.
What will Baker Mayfield's 2022 NFL season look like?
I'm looking at this.
Get in there, dude. Dig in, baby.
Oh, that's so clear. It's so easy. He's starting week one for the Carolina Panthers. It's so easy.
So the clouds parted immediately.
They
parted
immediately. I don't have to go think about all this. It's like, oh yeah, hey, we're going into the season with Sam Darnold as our quarterback. It's the most
Sam Darnold.
I don't need to be clairvoyant to see that it's just it's a manufactured joke that Matt Rhule would feel comfortable going into the future after almost getting fired because Sam Darnold almost got him fired with no other option. And they're playing this little game here that they don't have to, they don't have to pay Baker Mayfield's salary, hopefully, in their mind. And they're only going to pay a portion of it. And that's all fine. They're in no hurry. I just see it. I just don't see him sitting on the bench. And I actually think under Matt Rhule, he would be a pretty good fit. They would have to get the ball out of his hand a little quicker, but it's a lot of short throws. I think he can do it. He can, at the very least, represent what Teddy did a couple of years ago, which is all they might need for a little upgrade at quarterback.
I will tell you that looking at this question, we're on the same party line. Number one, what's juicier than the fact that he goes to Carolina, Matt Rhule is under fire, Baker Mayfield, it solves that position, at least for this year, and they play Cleveland in week one. That is the stepping stone to Baker Mayfield guiding the Panthers to 9-8, saving Matt Rhule's job, and he wins comeback player of the year while the Browns don't make the playoffs.
Gravedigger. Something's coming to me. The progressive ad campaign.
Oh, no.
Who is the new spokesman? Not Deshaun Watson.
I think that's a safe bet.
You're a seer is what you are.
I bet they're in a tricky spot right now, progressive. They're,
yes, they are.
They're waiting. They're just waiting for this to happen, but I don't know.
Imagine I have sympathy for Baker's entire offseason, even though maybe he's a little knucklehead or he talks too much, whatever. But, like, he not only has he been left out to dry by the Browns, hung out to dry, the entire football world has said, we're not so hot on you either. And you got that progressive phone call that's just kind of, you're waiting for that one because they're probably not looking to do business with a guy who's not really a starting quarterback or a guy that's seen as a high octane NFL player. So it's almost like that's the last indignity, the phone call from the progressive higher ups.
Counterpoint has a nice guaranteed salary coming his way, barring other issues. And he made a lot of money off of those progressive commercials already. But you're right.
My clairvoyance that I felt that I had might have been a little off with the whole week one idea. That it would be tricky for him to get in there, win that job even before playing the Browns. I might want to avoid that. But I just see him. I see him in that uniform. I see it. It all makes sense.
Okay. All right. Why don't you throw one out there, Greg?
All right, Mark. I'll ask you a question here.
All right.
Which defense will be seen as the league's most dominant in 2022?
Take us there.
This is not tricky to me at all.
Well, you're not using your brain to figure out what the answer is.
It just came to me, and it was a beautiful image.
Right. So it presented itself.
An NFC squad that has gone through changes, but remains a team on defense that I think the stamp of who they are is zero fear, immense swagger, and it's the New Orleans Saints.
Mm.
They've had some changes. You know, some faces have vanished, but some you put Honey Badger, I think, who is one of the best locker room presences in football, into the perfect spot. And I know the offense may be hot and cold next season. We'll see. Sean Payton not being there, but the defense has enough carryover. Marcus Davenport, Cam Jordan, CGJ, Marshawn Lattimore. I love these guys. So I just think the Saints is my answer. And it's very clear to me. There was nothing else that came in there. Mm. I saw a little vision for a minute of the Rams, but that's
floated away.
Floated away.
Well, according to Football Outsiders, Saints were number three in defensive DVOA behind Dallas, and Buffalo, and just ahead of New England.
And we're top two the year before, too. So that is consistent. And yet, I don't know. I think another team in their division was where I'd go, who just signed to Keem
Hicks. But he didn't go anywhere again.
No. I thought we were experts.
Now we
and
know.
So after doing this show for so long, that somehow.
It is. It's a little confusing.
Look what the Saints defense.
Sometimes it's confusing when Dan lets us know.
It's not. This isn't your opinion. That wasn't Mark's opinion.
Right.
It came to him.
Can I have a different opinion, though? Or is
Well, you know it's wrong, though, right?
Well, that's a good point.
Yeah. But
it's
you can share
sort
your
of
wrong
opinion.
It unspools
the segment to debate, because what we have been given are, like, you know, a vision from
that's
the gods
veteran.
Almost.
That's right. A veteran who's done 10 seasons worth of shows.
So,
right there.
But if you want to share your opinion that's incorrect, please.
I love sharing incorrect opinions. I think the Bucks are the team I would watch out for there. That's all.
Okay. Well, what does the Saints defense do to Tom Brady year after year?
That's fair. That's a fair point.
All right. Let's do another round.
All right. I want to ask you this one.
Okay. I don't know if I'm a little bit.
I think this is a pressing question. This will test your abilities.
Okay.
The San Francisco 49ers and what is happening with their quarterback situation. Just take us there and tell us what happens.
Oh, that's the question so many want to know.
Mm. Where are we by week one?
Ah. Why does it not hurt you guys? I see confusion. I see arguments behind the scenes. I see phone calls. Oh, so many phone calls. John Lynch, he wants to trade. He wants to trade.
Phone calls.
No one says yes. No one says yes.
Phone calls. Lots of phone calls. Landlines.
So many landlines everywhere. No one using wireless technology. Now, speeding through training camp, I see two figures. Okay, one is definitely Jimmy Garoppolo. And yes, Trey Lance.
Mm.
Trey Lance's finger looks okay. Good. Week one. It's Trey Lance on the field.
Hmm.
But by week six, it is the veteran Garoppolo.
Oh, no.
God.
Who leads the offense from San Francisco.
You okay?
I can't do another one of those.
No, it's taxing on you, I can see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's...
It seems to really go, like, inside of you in a way that it just doesn't with Mark.
Did you ever see Ghost?
Yes.
Yeah. It's very exhausting, for Whoopi.
And again, we're not seers, we're not fortune tellers, but when Whoopi, when she had to, like, go in and see things...
I mean, it kind of seems like we're seers here.
When Whoopi...
It's the role we're playing.
When Whoopi was done, she was fatigued afterwards. I think maybe that's potentially where this is coming from, but I don't know.
Not every seer goes through the same sort of physical toil, but with you, it's very...
it's taxing.
It's visible.
Physically, yes.
I also think that this answer that you gave, it could have been an answer... to another question that you got, which quarterback would get benched early? Because if when Trey Lance gets benched early for Jimmy Garoppolo, unless it's an injury, I guess that's possible here.
His finger is healed, though.
That would be a seismic move. That would be, and I have no reason to doubt any part of your vision.
That will
because
be
it's
a seismic
truth.
Move.
Right.
Yeah.
That will be a seismic move. They have to start Trey Lance. He's going to get all the reps this offseason. You got to get it ready. And yet, can't you just imagine if this team doesn't get out to a fast start like a year ago, it's the Kyle Shanahan type of thing to do.
That locker room matters. I think you heard it time and time again how much these guys really like Garoppolo. He also, for the record, was not healthy. Trey Lance said he couldn't throw a spiral last year because of his finger. We know Garoppolo obviously was playing banged up. And you just, you wonder. Because the other part of the whole thing with Trey Lance coming out of North Dakota State was he had very limited reps. He was very raw. And he didn't really get any opportunity to really learn the NFL game last year, the way he was used, the way apparently he was limited. So now you didn't even get that first developmental year. It's a very tough spot for Shanahan and the Niners, who have otherwise a very much a win now roster.
Like Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch have been relatively bulletproof through a bunch of injury plague seasons. You had the Super Bowl campaign, the loss, but a lot of up and down. And this would be nothing short of a gigantic disaster if Trey Lance is benched by week six for Jimmy G, who's super imperfect.
And what the vision, what came to me there is they really want to make the Lance thing work because of what they invested in him and what he potentially could bring to that offense in terms of his ability to be a two-way threat, which Garoppolo is not.
He did make a lot of plays. That's the thing I feel like gets lost a little is I was pretty intrigued by the two starts, and they were very different, and there were a lot of bad plays too, like very negative plays, but his great plays were great,
right?
And I thought he looked pretty good in that Houston start.
We brought up Wes earlier, I'll bring him up again, and we brought up fantasy earlier, I'll bring that up again. One thing, whenever we did the fantasy extravaganza, which of course will be coming up again later this summer, Wes, one of the advice he always gave out was don't settle on a guy that has a floor and a low ceiling, like take the chance on the guy that could really win your league. And I think you could take that principle and take it to the Niners. You know what you have in Jimmy G, right? But what if Trey Lance, healthy in another year in the system, is a stud? San Francisco is the best team in the NFC.
Well, and Trey Lance's mobility, fantasy-wise, makes him like Jalen Hurts, very high floor.
Well, no,
commodity.
Now I'm talking real football. Also,
yeah.
Just saying, like,
but his ability to do everything,
I think,
like,
in real football, I think it gives him a higher floor too. There's a couple, and it seems like we're being hard on Kyle Shanahan, but I feel like there's two moments in his career which he probably will almost never get criticized for, but I'll have it in my mind as a criticism. So just he'll know that if he listens to this. Number one, you didn't draft Patrick Mahomes or any of those guys when you had the chance. It's just like you traded down and took Solomon Thomas. And they sort of got a pass for that when you absolutely need a quarterback. Number two is Trey Lance wasn't going to play worse than Jimmy G in those last five games. Those were the worst. I would say that's the worst four-game stretch of Jimmy G's entire career. They made it to the NFC Championship game and a quarter away from the Super Bowl despite him. And in some way, I think that got people to believe that's like, well, I guess it was the right move. It's like, no. Trey Lance could have given you a pretty low baseline there and not made a lot of mistakes. And who knows? They might have been in the Super Bowl. They might have won the Super Bowl.
I think it tracks back to the fact that I'm not convinced Kyle Shanahan really ever wanted Trey Lance and probably prefers Jimmy G and ways that is problematic for
the Niners.
Let's
look at the Niners schedule, because it is also important, yes, that if Trey Lance does get this job, that he starts well. At Chicago, okay.
Doable.
Okay.
Very doable.
Home Seattle.
Doable. Very doable.
Okay. At Denver.
That's challenging.
Tricky.
Sunday night football, I like that. Trey Lance, Russell Wilson, give me some.
And then Monday night football, home against the Rams. That's, you know, and then you got a nice little at Carolina, at Atlanta.
Look what happens.
They call that the like NFC South like layup machine. Mm. Just like, hey, you guys need some help? Let's play the Panthers and Falcons in back-to-back
weeks.
Yeah,
but this
weeks.
Panthers team is going to have Baker Mayfield. Okay. We've already discussed the Panthers going to.
But it's been seen, that means in that stretch they're going to go something along the lines of 3-3, 2-4. Leading to a change against the Chiefs in Week 7. So, unbelievable. And I hope everyone is holding on to their butts, because we're not done yet. Greg.
All right.
This is another topic everyone wants to know. Everyone wants to know. Who is the rightful victor of the Davante Adams trade.
Mm. Wow.
Like,
it's what everybody wants to know.
Feels like an opinion, but okay.
Okay. I mean, yeah, is that the future? Is it the past? Ow! Ooh!
Yes!
What?
Ooh! Jeez.
Not there!
Oh, what? Michael Pittman?
Ooh!
I'm seeing a lot. I'm seeing pain. I'm seeing suffering. And I'm seeing a lot of happy Las Vegas Raiders fans. The Las Vegas Raiders are the victor of the Davante Adams trade. You want to know why? Just look at the name of the trade. It's not called the future picks trade. It's called the Davante Adams trade. I don't think that the Packers are going to fall apart because they got rid of Davante Adams. I think considering where they were in their team building cycle and Davante Adams wanted out, they got enough and that they're going to be okay. But I believe that a wide receiver that changes everyone around you. I did the PFF podcast last week, or they put it up this week. Steve Palazzolo would call it a force multiplier. I believe in that. A top wide receiver makes everyone around him better, including his quarterback, like Derek Carr. And they are going to be the winner of that trade. And you want to know why I know they're going to be the winner? Because the Packers didn't want to make it. Davante Adams made them make it.
Okay. No, that's sound theory there that the
I wanted to be controversial.
Would have liked to have him back. And now they're in a position where they're scrambling and they didn't make a big move on draft day, the Packers, to try to replace him. So I think it makes sense that this is how it's going to play out. Now, will Adams be – well, answer. This is good, Greg. You're still in the headspace, I hope, if physically you can handle it. Davante Adams, does he have 100 catches with Derek Carr?
Looking at the final – I'm going to have to – well, I'm not allowed to talk to people about anything because this would be a true advantage in Vegas if I knew
right,
this.
I would say you should probably
– but I did look at the 2022 final standings for receptions. Davante Adams only came in fourth, but it's with 103 catches. 17 weeks. He's got that extra game. Famously durable. Gets over 100.
Greg is so going to use this power for ill.
Right. To line his pockets.
Right.
For the
Wait.
Oh.
Rafael Nadal has won the 2022 French Open. Check out Courts of Thunder.
What? He got a plug in?
Going there.
That is distasteful. The last 4 years for Adams, or I should say the last 3 years, he's played at least 14 games. He's had 111, 115, and 123 catches. So even he'd be down 20 catches, or he right. is going to be down 20 catches. And yet, I think the Raiders would sign off on that in a second.
I do worry about Josh McDaniels kind of is in a funny spot. Maybe this is a little off topic. And just because he's taking over a team that I think overachieved and made the playoffs. And I feel like they could be – like the Davante Adams trade could make sense. They could have had pretty good offseason moves. They could be good, and they could still not make the playoffs. And then people will think the Packers won that trade. But I don't care. It's still the right
Their
move.
Own division. They play the NFC West. That is thorny.
All right. One more look.
What's the juiciest one out here? Which one?
Thank you to all the listeners who contributed, who wanted the answers. Mm. And we have provided them. Whether you're happy about it or not, again, that has nothing to do with us. This is not an opinion piece.
Don't come at us. It's our ability.
Right.
Will we see the return to glory for Monday Night Football as an entity now that Troy and Buck are there? And I ask this. I want to learn some real details about how this Monday Night Football season goes.
And you know what else?
Goes.
Great question, because Mark famously is turned on by Troy Aikman. In so many ways. And yet this answer that's coming to him will have nothing to do with that because it's not about Mark's opinion.
This is a perilous one for me.
Because he's in a position now, Greg, where he might have to say something negative about a hero. You really put him in a tough spot.
He has no choice.
I am not getting painful physical vibrations. I'm getting the opposite. Because let me tell you what I've seen. What vehicle on television, football-providing vehicle,
gross,
has been more lambasted by this podcast than Monday Night Football? Years
there
on
is
end.
No, there is
there
no...
Is none.
Yes.
That's been
showcased
our corner.
Telecast that we've been harder on.
Two words. Problem solved. We already know they can do it. I would say this about Troy Aikman. Yes, he is a handsome man, but one of the reasons that I gravitate towards Troy Aikman is just that he was like at the centerpiece for me, football-wise, growing up. And he's one of those last Cowboys quarterbacks. You got the Tony Romo thing, that he has done it with Buck for so long. They've got great chemistry. I think that Buck is unfairly critiqued by people. Troy Aikman's gotten better in the last couple of years, where he's a little, he'll get a little edgy.
Totally agree with
that. He'll
get
a little bit flustered and angry at what he sees on the field. I think this is going to take Monday Night Football and turn it back into something special. It has not been special in a very long time. They're not taking a risk. They're not rolling the dice with people we've never heard of. They're not sticking a player in the booth that's getting overpaid and never announced a thing. We talked about the floor in fantasy. The floor here is extremely high, but I think they're going to start to gravitate towards better matchups for Monday Night Football. I'm giving it a solid grade.
Here's the thing why this surprised me. It's obviously it happened, so it is now going to be a huge story. Andrew Marchand is going to be writing endlessly about how huge the ratings are. And what really surprised me that that could be even possible, because it's kind of like this idea that Monday Night Football has to return to glory. Like, it needs to be a conversation. It needs to be, you know, we're around the water cooler on Tuesday and we can't stop thinking about what Joe Buck said to Troy Aikman. And it, like, it's, this is not the 70s anymore. The idea that Monday Night Football is an important quote unquote telecast is such a product of a bygone era that I think they This isn't George Bush.
Boomer thinking.
This is not George Bush with the mission accomplished banner on the aircraft carrier. They can do it. ESPN, put up the barrier, put it up on the wall, on the carrier. The mission is accomplished.
I have one vision, though, that's disturbing me.
But let me just finish. But at the same time, what they accomplished was they have an A-plus booth. But it's not going to be changing the world. It's not going to be something that America is talking about.
There is one disturbing element.
Oh.
And this does cause me a problem inside. Because I think
it reverse what was happening before?
I think that on its own product will be very successful. Yes. And I'm with you on the status of television and the fact that it's not the biggest thing on the planet, but you're still dealing with the Manning cast, which I think is the future of how so many people a big chunk of people want to experience football. And I think right away that takes away from Buck and Aikman.
Wait, we're connecting.
Oh, no.
They said it couldn't be done.
Look, will we see a return to glory for Monday Night Football? It is parts of two telecasts that are creating the best night of analysis and play-by-play.
You've got it all.
It is glory, if you look at it from that
perspective. And it isn't just a boomer take on things, like the way that they've set it up. They have actually gone and created a type of broadcast that didn't exist a year ago. They've already done it with the Manning cast. I think that we're looking at something special.
Well, they were all together, like at this dog and pony show at the ESPN. Like, I don't know if it was ad sales, upfronts, whatever. And the four of them were together. Eli, Peyton. So they're all looking at it like they're on the same team. I'm sure they look at it like the money makes any sort of rivalry or eyeballs that are being taken away, you know, not a problem. And I do think Monday Night Football, I think it matters materially. Because, like, what are we talking about? It needs to return to some glory. NFL's dominant. It's already there. Everyone is talking about Monday Night Football on Tuesday. But there is something that the schedule looks better on paper this year. I don't know if that had to do with Aikman and Buck or if that had to do with Thursday night not getting as good games.
Hold on. I'm getting a vision.
Okay.
It did have something to do
with
Aikman and Buck.
It felt like it. They took some from Thursday, gave it to Monday. And it most importantly is the game, and this is partly why we talk about it so much. It's the one game of the week where we're just watching.
Oh, yeah.
And there's no distraction on Sundays. There's no podcast we have to do. We're doing immediately after, like on Thursdays potentially, or like finishing certain columns we're writing that night. And all. No, I mean, it's the time. Yeah, you are. I mixed it up there.
It's all right. It's fine.
sorry, bro.
What you doing over there, Dan?
I want to do something real quick before we say goodbye. Because we are really, it has been a seismic offseason in the booth. I want you guys to, there are five different teams here, ESPN, Fox, CBS, NBC, and Amazon. 5 points to your favorite booth, 4 to your second favorite, 3 to your third, 2 to your second to last, 1 to your least favorite booth.
Well, this is,
let's do
this
a
is
power
tricky.
Rankings on the fly.
Here. This is tricky. Because I like them all.
I also
all
need
so
a pen.
Close.
Preseason power rankings. You need a pen?
Yeah.
Okay. How about a, you use a blue pen? I never use blue.
Man, this is tough.
Rarely, but.
All right, here we go.
I want to give a four-way tie for first.
Okay, here we go. But you can't, Greg. You just can't. Remember, 5 points to your favorite. Oh, it's tough. Okay.
Not for me.
I got mine.
All right.
Let's turn in your cards.
You want me to add them up?
I think I could do it.
Wait, number one is the one we like the most, right?
The least.
The least.
Oh, I How? Messed up, Greg.
I made it so clear. I repeated it like 3 times.
So 3, Greg, would stay
we
the same.
We can edit this out. Yeah, you know. 3
no,
is stay
this
the
is
same.
The people need to know how it went. All right, here we go.
Because when I saw Mark's list, I was like, huh, you have him first? No, that's surprising.
All right, you guys speak amongst yourselves while I handle the tabulation.
I mean, we are an edited program after the fact.
Nope.
We're on YouTube, though, so I guess
right.
Not
Dan handling the math,
just
though.
Do it.
Check
just
us out on YouTube.
How are things, Greg, with you personally?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
How are things with you personally, Graver?
By the way, Gravedigger let it slip the name of his paramour. You could bleep it. And that's actually kind of what I imagined the name to be.
Yeah, that's in the wheelhouse.
I feel like you guys knew that, but okay.
See, well, you don't have the old Zeuser driving the show here. It's getting a little dry,
I'm
the conversation.
I'm captivated by watching you add the numbers, but I'd like this to spot check it as well.
I mean, sometimes you got to know strengths and weaknesses of the personnel. It's why I tried to volunteer. I thought you would see what I was doing. There,
no,
it's
I like
not
this
that
as a test.
It's not that complicated.
I like it as a test.
But Greg, you would have added it wrong. You would have done it in the opposite.
Well, I flipped it
there
around
were problems
once,
at
I,
the, you know.
Once I realized.
All right, we're coming up now.
Well, this is very
ooh,
tense.
Wow, here we go. We're coming up right. Ooh, it's really close. Really close.
Are there stark differences between it? I guess we can get into that. But
okay, here we go. Here are the final. Bring that music back. Let's get the tension. Here we go. The preseason power rankings of the Rejigger Boots. Number one, 13 points.
I already changed my mind. I want to change my mind.
CBS. Nance and Romo.
Hmm.
Number two, 12 points. Ooh, so close. Fox. Excuse me, ESPN.
Yeah,
Fox.
Okay.
So Aikman.
Yeah.
3, 10 points. So very close, which is a good sign that they did a nice job here. Tirico and Collinsworth. After that, Fox, the Burkhart Olsen team, 7 points. And this one hurts. Al Michaels, Kirk Herbstreit, Amazon, 3 points total. We all were in lockstep.
I'm not surprised by that. Don't know.
It's like Al, and Greg's going to do the math now.
No.
That's fine.
I want to change my answer already.
It's too late. It's too late. It's too late.
I was higher on Buck Aikman, not surprisingly, than the two of you.
That actually makes sense. That all adds up to me. maybe incorrectly. All right. Good stuff. Good app.
I mean, Mark voted Tirico and Collins were second to last. I was wondering how they didn't win.
My issue is
I put him first.
You don't like Collinsworth.
Collinsworth is too folksy for me. I don't find him funny. He's very good at what he does, but it's just taste.
All right. Listen, and you, that's your opinion, and that's fine.
Right.
Now we're back in the realm of opinion.
Seems to differ from the from how you two feel, which is, you know, I'll have to reconcile that on my own.
Well, I would say there's going to be a lot of private introspection you'll have immediately following the show. All right. We'll be back on Thursday. So make sure you check that out. Be there. And thank you to everybody for listening. Great to hear Chris Wessling's voice there. Love it. Till Thursday, heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Set sail and save right away when you book your next Disney cruise vacation with UndercoverTourist.com. Undercover Tourist is your secret for savings on all Disney Resorts vacations. And now, fun in the sun with Disney Cruise Lines. How about enchanting entertainment or an exclusive visit to Castaway Key? Anything's possible aboard a Disney cruise vacation. Book now with UndercoverTourist.com, an authorized seller, and get a free in-room decor package with your Disney Cruise Line booking. Plus, exclusive savings at checkout. UndercoverTourist.com.
Did you catch season 3 of This Is Digital? Season 3 of This Is Digital goes behind the scenes to reveal how digital trends show up in everyday decisions and actions, including digital lessons from the EV revolution and the chief digital officer's role in disruption and culture. Featuring guests like Ekta Chopra of Elf Beauty and Tyson Jomini of JD Power. Do you have a digital mindset? Find out by checking out the latest and greatest on season 3 of This Is Digital and learn more at westmonroe.com.